In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear viewers, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm Mahdi Rastani, your host today with the series of shows Open Talk, coming to you live from the holy city of Qom, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Inshallah, in this program, in this series of programs, we aim to discuss a number of issues relevant to the issues that Muslims around the world deal with on a day-to-day basis, inshallah. Also, we will be honored with the presence of an Islamic scholar and expert that will be providing answers with us to our questions that we will be posing, inshallah, in this program. But before we start, inshallah, we have Brother Abbas here. I will go to Brother Abbas to hear some of his comments on the topic that we'll be discussing today, inshallah, before we start. Brother Abbas.
All praises to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Peace and blessing be upon the messenger, his household and companions. Dear viewers, welcome to this episode of Open Talk. I should thank you for your presence in this program. Your opinions are welcomed in this program. As my brother Mahdi said, today we're going to talk about an important topic, neighborhood in Islam. Let me remind you of a nice saying of Fatima Zahra, Salamullah alayha, Ajjar Sumadar, beware of the rights of your neighbors before of your own home. We'll be back with you after a short break.
Yes, as we mentioned earlier, inshallah, in this program we will be discussing a number of issues in regards to the Islamic lifestyle. In this session in particular, inshallah, we will be focusing on the topic of neighboring one another in Islam from the Islamic point of view. With us we have my dear brother, Sheikh Muhammad Poor, an Islamic expert who has studied in the Hawza for a number of years, and he also has a master's degree in Quranic studies. Inshallah, he will be providing us with answers in regards to the questions that we will be mentioning today. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Thank you very much for inviting me. It's my pleasure to be here. I am at your service.
Thank you very much. So, inshallah, to begin with the program, and there are a number of questions that can be asked in regards to neighboring others in Islam and Islam's perspective on this issue. But let's just start out with the definition of neighboring others. From the Islamic perspective, can you give us a definition of, you know, who is considered our neighbors and who's not?
Yeah, thank you. It's a very good question. As you may know, in the Holy Quran, in the Noble Quran, and in the narrations of Ahlul Bayt, we have this concept of neighboring and to be a good neighbor for others.
Yes.
And the, you know, neighboring is a universal concept and everybody can understand what does it mean.
Okay.
And, you know, in different countries, in different communities, in different cities, it is clear for everybody that what neighboring means. And in Islam, we had great emphasis to be a good neighbor, to be a nice neighbor for others. And inshallah, gradually we will discuss those points. And inshallah, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will narrate a couple of narrations from infallible Ahlul Bayt and from A'imma alayhim as-salam. And we will look at some verses of the Noble Quran. You see that the concept of neighboring in Holy Quran and in the Noble Quran, we have the concept of jar, and in the narrations, we have this concept and we have this terminology.
Yes.
And this concept can be, you know, can be used in a positive way and can be used in a negative
okay.
way. For example, we have some verses that talks about the good neighbor.
Yes.
What can you do to be a good neighbor for others? And sometimes we have this concept for the negative, you know, aspect of it. And for example, it used for the Satan. Mm-hmm. Sometimes due to some characteristics that some people has, the Satan would be the neighbor.
So meaning that Satan is so associated with them, so in some ways interacts with them without them knowing, that Satan becomes their neighbor.
Yeah, actually, yes. And we have some verses of the Holy Quran talking about this point. Mm-hmm. And it indicates that sometimes Satan can be very close to that person. And actually, that's Satan will control that person. Okay. And that person would be an embodiment of Satan and acts according to the wish of Satan.
Okay, so before we move on, can you give us a definition of, because I remember there's a famous hadith, apparently, of, you know, these individuals are your neighbors. Can you expand on that
a
little bit?
We have one narration from Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He said that, from each side you have to have, that you leave, 40 houses are considered to be your neighbors.
Up to 40 houses.
Up to 40 houses, yes. From each side.
Yes.
It means that, for example, we have some interpretation of from the, you know, scholars and the Islamic expert. They say that it means that for example, in small cities and in small towns, all people can be your neighbors.
Okay.
And Holy Prophet wanted to say that, maybe he wanted to say that, in a small town, all people are your neighbors, and you have to observe their rights, mm-hmm. And they try to be nice with them. And the narration continues to enumerate the rights of the neighbors.
So, if I've understood you in the right way, you're saying that this hadith that points out the 40 houses, it doesn't mean 40 houses in a literal manner, meaning that it's just up to 40, and after that, these people aren't considered your neighbors.
Yes.
Rather, it's trying to point out that this great number of people are your neighbors, mm-hmm. meaning that if you're living, for example, in a small town, small city, in a small mm-hmm. village, the whole city, the whole town are considered your neighbors.
Your neighbors, yes. And in a big city, there is no difference. It means that the many people and many houses are considered to be your neighbors, and you have to observe their rights. But I want to say that it is not, we shouldn't interpret and understand this narration in a literal meaning of that.
Okay.
And it's indicating to the point that many people are your neighbors.
Okay.
And of course, I will expand on this point, that what does it mean, neighbor? For example, we have the concept of neighbor in the same people that are your, you know, co-religious people.
Okay.
And for example, we have some families, you know, if you have the relation with your families, in some sense and in some meaning, they consider to be your neighbors. And of course, you know, it has different layers and different levels.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for the definition. So from what I understood, there's a very broad definition for neighboring one another and neighbors and who we should be considering as neighbors. Thank you very much. Before we continue, because now we're going to get down to the manners of neighboring others, that's probably the most important part of our discussion today. But before we get down to that, I'm going to ask Brother Abbas to let us know a little bit about some of his opinions in regards to this topic, if he has anything to add to what was said.
Thank you, Brother Mahdi, and thank you, the dear guest. First, let me mention that there are about the ways that dear viewers can contact us. There are different ways that you can contact us. You can go on the internet, on Facebook. Our webpage is Open Talk Sahar TV. You can go there. You can post your questions. You can post your comments, and our experts are here to answer your questions. You can also go on YouTube and Twitter. Our webpage is Open Talk Sahar TV there. You can go there, you can watch our videos, and you can give your opinions and comments. Really, your opinions are welcome. We're looking forward to receiving your comments and opinions. As you said, we talked about the significance of neighborhood in Islam. Here I have something about the rights of neighbors. There is a hadith of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which goes as follows. Do you know what the rights of neighbors are? Asked the noble prophet, and he went on to give a list. Help him if he asks for your help. Give him relief if he seeks your relief. Lend him if he needs a loan. Show him concern if he is distressed. Nurse him when he is ill. Attend his funeral when he dies. Congratulate him if he meets any good. Sympathize with him if any calamity befalls him. Do not block his heir by raising your building high without his permission. Harass him not, and give him a share when you buy fruits. And if you do not give him, bring him what you buy quietly, and let not your children take them out to excite the jealousy of his children. These are some rites that we're going to talk about them.
Yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That was a wonderful tradition.
Yes, of course.
It's very nice to see that, you know, 1400 years ago, the people who we follow, our imams and our prophet, salawatullah alayhim ajma'in, they were very well aware of the fact that neighboring has such a great impact on the Muslim society. And they have these guidelines that if you think about it sometimes, you'd think that they've pointed out these guidelines today. You know, one of the things that the brother mentioned was about building buildings that would, you know, issues.
Do not block his heir. Yeah.
Yes. That's something that we may not even think of, probably not even today. But it's interesting to know that it's pointed out in traditions that we have from 1400 years ago. So let's move on now to the manners of neighboring others. I know that we have a number of traditions in this regard, so if you could expand on that a little bit.
Yes, thank you. You know, regarding the narrations and the verses of Holy Quran, first of all, I would like to mention some of the verses of Holy Quran. And we have some verses in the Noble Quran, for example, in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 36.
Yes.
It reads as follows, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not ascribe any partners to him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا And be good, be nice to your parents. وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى And be nice and good to your relatives. وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ To the orphans and to the needy. وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبِ Jar al Ghurba, you know, we are talking about the concept of neighboring.
Yes.
In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the concept of neighboring. Wal Jar al Ghurba means a near neighbor, and Wal Jar al Junub means a distant neighbor.
Okay.
Of course, this is one of the understanding of this verse and one of the clearer, you know, way of understanding. But in some of the interpretation books, we see that some scholars has, you know, other meaning for this verse. And of course, all of these meaning are, you know, related to each other. And we see that وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى means that, for example, first meaning I said that the near neighbor.
Okay.
And the second means that your relative neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of your neighbors who are, you know, your
They're both relatives. Your relatives and your neighbors.
Yes, okay. Exactly. Both are, you know, your relatives and they are your neighbors.
Okay.
But because in the beginning of the verse we said that وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى so maybe this understanding is not very correct understanding.
Okay.
Because in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you should be good to your relatives.
Okay.
And so maybe there is no need to repeat this sentence and
yes.
say that, for example, ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى is your, for example, neighbors who are your relatives. But this is one of the understanding and one of the experts.
So yes. Before we move on, just to make the interpretation.
Yeah.
So one of the interpretations is that وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى means that a person who is your relative and your neighbor at
your
the same time.
Yes.
But some have refuted this interpretation
yes.
because the verse itself points out relatives
in
the
beginning yes.
of the verse. Okay.
Yes. And another interpretation of this verse is that your neighbors who are your co-religious people.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. For example, all of you are Muslim, for example.
Yes.
This verse talking about this kind of neighboring, mm-hmm. who are your co-religious people and co-religious neighbors.
Okay.
And the, for example, in Tafsir Namune, Ayatollah Makarim Shirazi said that maybe we can say that these interpretations are, you know, related to each other, and they are talking about neighbors who are close to you, whether in the religion,
yes.
whether, for example, they have some blood relationship,
yes.
or, for example, you have the place relationship, or they are close to you,
okay.
and they are very near to you.
So does the verse, it's mm-hmm. pointing out that These all go back to that phrase of the verse that says "Wabil walidaini ihsan."
Ihsan, yes.
So meaning that we should do ihsan to these groups
exactly.
that's mentioned.
Exactly.
So what are the ways? Some of the ways that we can do that. What are the? Because you know, some of our viewers that are watching the program, mm-hmm. they're looking for practical ways to carry out this way of neighboring that Islam suggests.
Yes. Very good. For, you know, the interesting point in this verse is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to one interpretation,
yes.
you know, orders us to be nice and to do good things with your with our neighbors,
mm-hmm.
For example, who have some connection with them
yes.
and some relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
But the ways that you mentioned, how can be good to them, there is a very nice narration from the noble prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and this is the same narration that my brother mentioned.
Yes.
I would like to read the exact you know, narration, and of course it is very interesting and nice narration from Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Just refer to some part of this narration.
Yes.
The narration starts in this way. لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ مَنْ لَا يُؤْمَنُ جَارُهُ بَوَائِقَهُ.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi said that the person who is always bothering that, you know, bothering his neighbors,
yes.
and you know, make troubles for his neighbors,
causes trouble for
them. Causes trouble for him. This person actually does not believe in Allah
mm-hmm.
and in the Day of Judgment.
Meaning that, in other words, he's not a believer.
He's not a believer. He's mm-hmm. not the faithful person.
Okay.
Yes. So it showed that, you know, to be nice to the neighbors and to not cause trouble
mm-hmm.
for your neighbors. This is one of the, you know, indicate to your faith
mm-hmm.
and to your true, you know, to be a true Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the ways and one of the indicators. وَإِذَا إِسْتَقْرَضَهُ أَنْ يُغْرَضَهُ. The same narration
yes.
that my brother mentioned. Sometimes, for example, your neighbors need some money.
Yeah.
You should lend him, you should give him some money,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you should provide him with the money.
Sorry, before we move
okay.
on, in regards to lending money in particular,
okay.
because I know this is an issue that a lot of people deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know that this isn't our topic. Lending money is in our topic,
right.
But because when we mentioned this issue of the fact that we should be willing to lend money to our neighbors, right, if they're in need of that
yes.
loan, are there any other guidelines in regards to how that should be done? Can we simply rely on them, you know, just promising us that they will bring back money? Or because I think there's some certain guidelines in Islam as to if you're going to, you know, lend money to your neighbor or whoever it is, right, that it should be written down or something like that. Could you elaborate just a little bit on that?
Yes, very good question. In the verses of Holy Quran, we had in Surah Al-Baqarah,
yes.
it's mentioned that if you want to lend some money
mm-hmm.
To some people, especially to your neighbors, you should write it down.
Okay.
You know, it can be some kind of guarantee that
okay.
person will, you know, give back your money.
Yes.
And of course, it is a very important point. We shouldn't always be, you know, sometimes naive people
okay.
and easily give, you know, money for
yes.
each person. Yeah, I mean, that's you should be somehow give take some guarantee.
Yes.
Write it down, for example.
Or make things clear.
Yeah, make it
yes.
very clear that, for mm-hmm. example, in that deadline, I will, you know, I need your money, you should return it back.
Okay.
And on the other hand, we have some recommendation for the person has some, you know, he has borrows your
yeah.
money. The recommendation is that it is very recommended to, you know, give it back and give and add some money.
To put some extra money on it.
Put some extra money on your money that you have borrowed.
Yes.
And of course, it is considered to be a husnul qada.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Means that it is very good, very nice to, you know, turn back and give back the money with some addition and with some extra money. But of course, you know that that the person who lends, that person cannot put some condition that I lend you with the condition that you, you know, give back some extra.
So, so in other words, Islam's guidance in this regard is that the person who is borrowing money should be willing to add to that money when he's giving it back. Mm-hmm. It's mustahab, apparently.
It's, yes, mustahab.
But on the other hand, the person who is lending the money, he does not have the right to set any conditions that the person who is borrowing money should pay back with more money.
Yes.
So if you could continue with the manners.
Yeah, there are, as you see, there are some practical ways for to be a good and to be nice for your neighbors.
Okay.
And إِذَا أَصَابَهُ خَيْرًا حَنَّأَهُ وَإِذَا أَصَابَهُ شَرٌ عَذَّهُ. For example, sometimes some people, they are in a felicitous way, they are happy. You should share them, you know, with their happiness, and you know, congratulate them. And sometimes they are in a sorrowful, for example, situation. Mm-hmm. They are bothering from some, you know, suffering. They have some problems, and you should, you know, extend your condolences and you contribute to their problems. And for example, to, you know, calm them. This is one of the Islamic etiquette of, you know, behavior. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the hadith that my brother mentioned. And of course, we have some other narration from Abu Abdullah, Imam Sadr alayhi salam. He said that Husnul Jawar Ya'muru Diyar wa Yazidu fil A'mar. He said that if you be a good neighbor and to be a nice neighbor and companion for your neighboring, for your neighbors, in that case, you have a very nice city, very nice community.
Thriving city.
Thriving, city. And actually, you can enjoy living in that city.
Mm-hmm.
And Yazidu fil Amar, and your age would be extended, and you will have a prolonged and long, you know,
longer life.
Mm-hmm. And these are some of the consequences of being a good neighbor.
So, if I'm not mistaken, with what the hadith is pointing out is actually somewhat some kind of relationship, okay, that takes place. You know, it has physical effects, like physical effects in the sense that apart from the spiritual effects that it has. That if you're going to be good to your neighbors, that will be one of the factors that may prolong your life. Is that the correct understanding?
Yes, of course. These are some of the physical consequences, as you mentioned, that, and it is absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beside the spiritual benefit that person gain, we have some, you know, let's say physical benefit that person can obtain through respecting and being nice to your neighbors.
Okay.
And this is one of the societal factor of being a good neighbor. You know, being a good and nice neighbor, it does not have only some individual benefit, and it has some societal benefit. Imagine that everybody respecting his neighbor, and everybody is nice to his neighbor, and everybody try to, you know, abide by the recommendation that I mentioned.
Yes.
And of course, Holy Prophet Muhammad mentioned it.
Yes.
We have in the narration. Which society would we have?
Yes.
Okay, we have a very nice society, we have a very nice community, and I think nobody has any problem. Because if you face problem, you can go to your neighbor.
Your neighbors are always there for them to help you.
Yeah, your neighbor is always there, your neighbor is, you know, welcome you.
Yes.
And in that case, I think we have a very nice society, and actually it is the society that the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are looking for.
Thank you very much. So, inshallah, we will continue with the discussion. Before that, I'm going to go back to our brother Abbas, for him to...
Related to this topic here, I have something nice mentioned from Holy Prophet. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was told of a woman who prayed during night and fasted a lot during day, and he was really jealous. Badu's neighbors complained of her abusive tongue, yes. And the Prophet Muhammad said she would be in hellfire. Mm-hmm. She would be in hellfire.
Meaning
as
that
our dear guest said, it's really important to be good with your neighbors in both actions and words.
Thank you very much. So what the tradition was pointing out, apparently, was that even though this lady was worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she was carrying out acts of worship, praying, fasting, other acts of worship.
Yeah.
But because of this abusive tongue that she had, that would annoy others and bother others, and the insulting that she was doing, those acts didn't really have the effect that they should have. So let's, I don't know if you want to expand more on the manners now, or you want to move on to the results of, carrying out these guidelines, whichever one you would prefer.
Okay. Regarding the, which character can they have,
yes,
to be a, good neighbors? Of course, we have many, yes, narrations, but I would like to continue the ayah.
Yes.
As I mentioned in the beginning, ayah Surah An-Nisa, verse number 36. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that وَعْبُدُ اللَّهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَمْعِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that not only you should be good and nice to your, close neighbors who are near to you,
yes,
actually you should be nice to your distant neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
For example, some people, as I said, that it has some, interpretation. Distant neighbor can be distant in the regarding the places. For example, he is somehow, for example, far from your residence place.
Yes.
Or, for example, you are not co-religious people.
Mm-hmm.
You are Muslim, and that person, for example, he is a Jew. Or, for example,
yes,
he is a Christian.
Yes.
In that case, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you should be nice to that person.
Even if he doesn't...
Even if he is not, Muslim, and
yeah,
you do not have any, common religion.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is very interesting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that that person has a right of, haqqul jar in,
yes,
Islamic terminology.
He has the same rights
same
of neighboring
rights,
you,
yes,
than others do.
He has a right of the neighbor.
Yes.
Although he is not Muslim, although,
yes,
for example, you have some, differences.
With him, yeah.
But that person, he should have a right of, a jar and,
yes,
the rights of neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And the wasahib bil jam, it's a very interesting point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that companion at your side.
Yes.
The person, he is companion at your side. And it has many extended, meaning,
yes,
and concept. That person can be your wife, your husband,
mm-hmm,
and can be, for example, a traveler. That
yes,
you are traveling together.
So whoever may be acquainted with you, or
yes,
whoever you are probably dealing with on a,
yes,
on a daily basis. Yes.
Yes, yes. And for example, your colleague can be your wasahib wal jam,
even your neighbor. Yes.
Or for example, you are in a class, you have some, students. Even in that case, your wasahib wal jam, what companion at your side.
Yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you should be nice to every person, everybody that you are accompanying,
yes,
that person.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a point that I think is very interesting,
okay,
that we should notice today.
Thank you very much. I guess will take a short break now, inshallah. And after we come back, we'll discuss more about the results of carrying out these guidelines from the Islamic point of view. Stay with us. So, inshallah, we'll continue with our discussion. Our discussion today, as you probably already know, is about neighboring in Islam and the guidelines that Islam has in this regard. In the previous section of the program, we discussed the manners that Islam prescribes in regards to neighboring and how one should neighbor another person. Let's move on just a little bit to the results of carrying out these guidelines. If we are going to carry out these guidelines, what changes are going to happen, are going to take place in the society? What results are they going to have?
Yes. In one of the narrations that I quoted for you, we had from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam.
Yes.
He said that it has, if you be good to your neighbor, if you be nice to your neighbors, actually it has two benefits, spiritual benefits and somehow physical benefit that I mentioned.
Yes.
And you know, in the narration we said that in Ya'mur al-Bilad, which calls to be a, you know, really nice society, really mm-hmm. nice city you will have, and everybody enjoy living with each other, and it has many benefits.
Yes.
A spiritual benefit, for example, in the spiritually, it has many benefits for person to be good and to be nice for each other.
Yes.
And in one of the recommendation of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, I would like to my viewer that they should look at the final will of Amir al-Mu'mineen in
the will Balaba. On his deathbed.
Yes. The will of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam on his deathbed. It is very interesting.
Yes.
And very nice will that Amir al-Mu'mineen made there. In one part of his will, he said that Allah, Allah fi jiranikum.
Mm-hmm.
Be aware of the rights of your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very important. He said that فَإِنَّهُ وَسِيَّةُ نَبِيِّكُمْ.
Yes.
To be nice to your neighbors, this is a will of your prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he said that we should be mm-hmm. nice to our neighbors.
Yes.
And he said that Holy Prophet was insisting on to be a, you know, nice to our
yes.
neighbors, until that we thought that our neighbors will inherit us.
Mm-hmm. Meaning even that he insisted on this concept
yeah.
so much
yes.
that we could imagine that it would cause mistakes, in the sense that people would think that, you know, these neighbors, they are considered, you know, your family members.
Yes.
And that they would probably inherit things from you
inherit,
if you
yes.
pass away. Okay.
Actually, you know, neighbors they do not inherit from
yes.
us. But he said that it was the great emphasis of Holy Prophet on the rights
yes.
of the neighbors that it caused that we think that maybe they are, you know, inherit.
Some, yeah, we might have assumed that.
Yes.
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 Okay.
And we see that the concept of neighboring is very important in
yes.
Islam and in the narrations of Ahlul Bayt.
Okay. Thank you very much. The more we discuss this issue, the more we figure that neighbors aren't really neighbors. They're actually,
yes, actually.
More of family members than simply some people that we're living with in the same neighborhood or on the same street. So inshallah, we have a very, very important question, and I know it's important for our viewers. So I'm going to ask Brother Abbas to let us know about this question, and then we'll take on the discussion from there, inshallah.
Okay, before asking this question, again, let me remind our dear viewers of the ways that they can contact us. Again, I say you can go on the internet. Our webpage is Open Talk Sahar TV. You can go on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. You can post your comments and raise your questions, and our experts are here to answer your questions. And your opinions are really welcome. Here, before asking that question, I have something about being kind to your neighbor, even your neighbor harms you.
Yes.
As our dear guest said, this is a story about a Holy Prophet. Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, speaks about a Jewish neighbor
mm-hmm.
That used to try to irritate him by throwing garbage.
Yes.
In his way every day. One day Holy Prophet walked out of his home to find no garbage. He immediately went to neighbor's house and inquired about him to find that she was ill.
Yes.
And Holy Prophet offered his assistance. She was so moved and at the same time ashamed of her action at his concern, after all she had done to him. This is a prime example of being a good neighbor and being kind to your neighbors.
Yes. Thank you very much. Once again, it's a wonderful tradition.
Yes, and that question that you said is about religion. Yes. Let me ask this question. Does it make a difference whether your neighbors are Muslim or non-Muslims?
Yes. So I guess the question is quite clear. You know, depending on who your neighbor is, do the rights differ, or is it the same thing? So for example, you mentioned about some of these very, very detailed issues that was mentioned in the tradition. That if, for example, you're buying fruits,
yeah,
and you're taking fruits to your own house, and you, for whatever reason, you can't give your fruits to your neighbor, or you can't share them with your neighbor, it's better for you to not take it out in front of their children, because they may want it. So we have detailed guidelines like that. Are those applicable to both people who embrace the same religion as us and people who don't, or it's, you know, exclusively for Muslims?
Yes. Actually, as I mentioned, in the verses of Holy Quran and in the verses of Noble Quran, there is no difference.
Yes.
Al-Waljar al-Junub, as I mentioned,
yes,
one of the interpretation is that a person who are not, you know, co-religious with,
yes,
each other,
yes,
and there is no difference. Mm-hmm. From the perspective of Noble Quran, with regard to these two, you know, people. But we have some narration, specific narrations from Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He said that, you know, very explicitly, he said that there is no difference between those people.
Yes.
That even they are, you know, non-Muslim, you should respect them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the rights to of neighbor. Mm-hmm. For example, he said that thalasatun famin. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ لَهُ ثَلَاثَةُ حُقُوقٍ. He said that الْجِيرَانُ ثَلَاثَةٌ.
Yes.
We have three, you know,
categories
of the neighbors.
Yes.
First, those people who had three rights, who are, for example, حَقُّ الْجِوَارِ وَحَقُّ الْقِرَابَةِ وَحَقُّ الْإِسْلَامِ. Some people, they are Muslim.
Yes.
And, for example, they are your relative. And they are your, let's say, neighbors.
All
three of them, okay. Yes. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ لَوْ حَقًا. Some people, they have two of the rights. حَقُّ الْإِسْلَامُ وَحَقُّ الْجِوَارِ.
Mm-hmm.
They are Muslim and they are your neighbors.
Yes.
But they are not your relative.
They're not your
So
relatives.
They have two rights.
Okay.
And the last one is the category that we are talking about.
Yes.
وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ لَهُ حَقٌ وَاهِدٌ الْكَافِرُ لَهُ حَقُّ الْجِوَارِ.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, maybe they are non-Muslim, and but they are your neighbors.
Yes.
And of course, with the definition that we mentioned for the neighbors, do not, yes, forget that. We said that the neighbors are, even some people, they are living far from you.
Yes.
In some cases, they are considered to be your neighbors.
Yes.
And in that case, Holy Prophet said, even though they are non-Muslim, you,
yes,
should, you know, respect them, and they have the right of being
of
your neighbor.
So one interesting thing that I understood from the tradition that you mentioned in particular, and I want you to, if you could, just elaborate on that a little bit more, is the if I'm not mistaken, the tradition mentions the word kafir, which means that this person can, I guess kafir has a more broad definition than, you know, Jews and Christians, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So does that also apply to, for example, people who are not even Jews? They're not even Christians, because I'm sure a lot of our viewers are, you know, sometimes they might be dealing with this issue that, you know, the people living with them, neighboring them, are not Jews, they're not Christians either. They are, for example, they have no religion. Or, for example, they're atheists, meaning that they don't accept,
yes,
the existence,
yeah,
of God.
Yeah.
Not people who do that intentionally, but they're misguided, for example, okay, and they're looking for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Do the rights apply there as,
yes,
well?
Yes, of course, the,
yes,
right apply there too.
Yes.
Because this concept that I mentioned, it does not limit it to the, for example, people of the book.
Yes.
We are not talking about those people specifically. And it has very wider concept. And it includes even atheists who does,
yes,
not have any, for example, any belief, or, for example, mm-hmm, he is not abide by any religion.
Yes.
He said that the person, that person is a human being. Yes. Holy Prophet said that mm-hmm. even if that person is human being mm-hmm. and he is your neighbor, he has a right of neighbor. Mm-hmm. And you should, you know, observe this right, yes. and you should have this right with those people. Okay. There is no difference with, as I said, with the religion, or for example, does not have any religion.
Okay. Yes. Thank you very much.
Sorry, Dr. Nur Muhammadi, here I have a question, if there is no problem. How can we approach non-Muslim neighbors? Is it possible to share meals with them, to go mm-hmm. to their house, invite them to come to our houses?
Yes.
Yes.
How can we invite them yes. even to Islam?
That's very a very good question.
Thank you very much for your nice question, my brother. Actually, there is no problem if you have some, you know, let's say, for example, inviting them, or for example, you going to their houses.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any problem.
Yes.
And of course, it has some jurisprudential points. Yes. I don't want to go to that point. Yes. It doesn't have, but generally speaking, it is okay if you go to their houses and mm-hmm. eat with them.
Yes.
And for example, if they come to your houses, especially if they are your guests and yes. they are your neighbors,
yes.
and it doesn't have any problem, and it is recommended. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's okay to have some relationship, a social relationship with them.
So, because that was a wonderful question. I know it's a question that a lot of people are dealing with. So, for example, I'm going to, bring about a more detailed question in okay. this regard.
Okay.
Right now, if you know, we have the holidays outside in the West right now. We're near Christmas, okay. And so, you know, people have their holidays, and you might have neighbors that are celebrating okay. Christmas, for example.
Yes, I see.
And so do you think it would be okay for us to have these neighbors come to our place? Or, you know, we go there and we take part in their celebrations. What's your opinion on that? Obviously, we don't mean in such a way where, you know, we show them that, you know, we celebrate all the days you celebrate, you know, we're just like you. Obviously, we're not trying to make that point. But, you know, in such a sense that we celebrate with them, because Christmas, at least to according to the common view, yeah. is the birth of our beloved Prophet Jesus, sallallahu alayhi. So if you could elaborate on that a little bit.
It is okay. I don't think that it does make any problem that, for example, we go to the holidays, as you said, you
yes.
mentioned the Christmas or any other holiday that we have, and for example, share with them some meals, mm-hmm. or for example, go to the hostel or invite them. But at the important point here is that they should understand that they should recognize us as a
yes.
Muslim,
yes.
and we should not, let's say, for the sake of being friend and for the sake mm-hmm. of being a neighbor, we should give up everything, we should give up our religion.
Yes. So you're saying that we can take part in those yes. celebrations with them.
With some conditions.
Yes.
Yeah.
And those conditions, like at least one of them, mm-hmm. Would be that they would recognize us as a Muslim, mm-hmm. meaning that we don't compromise our principles
yes.
so much that
exactly.
we would be considered just one of them.
Yes.
As a Muslim, yes. we're taking part in this celebration.
Yes.
And
okay. This is a point. But unfortunately, we see that in some communities, some Muslim, they are not proud of being Muslim, and they want to compromise everything in, for the sake of being, for example, be a good companion
yes.
and being good neighbor.
Yes.
We're not talking about those people.
Okay.
We're talking about people that, you know, real Muslim. As a Muslim, they're good to their neighbors, mm-hmm. and they participate in the celebrations and
okay.
in their, as we had in the narrations.
Yes.
We should participate in the celebration and congratulate them.
Mm-hmm.
We had this narration for,
yes.
from the noble Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And for example, when they are sad, you should, you know, give
sympathize
your condolences,
with them. Yes.
sympathize with them. And I think the matter is so clear,
mm-hmm.
and we had these points in the narration of Holy Prophet.
Thank you very much. Before we go to Brother Abbas, I just wanted to ask about this. I've heard this story of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah
yes,
alayh, of him apparently sending flowers
yes.
to his neighbors.
Could you some gift.
Yes.
Of course, we have this story from Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah
yes.
alayh. He in the Christmas, he sent some, I don't know exactly which kind of gift, but he
yes.
sent some gift as a, he showed that, for example, as a respect and as a kindness to his neighbors.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I think this was while he was in Paris, if I'm not
Paris,
mistaken.
Yes.
Yes,
exactly.
So we're going to go to Brother Abbas if he has any comments or questions.
Yes, here I have something about the eagerness of Muslims that they try to strive to be friendly and kind.
Yes.
Because we have a saying in English, we say good fences make good neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
But in Islam, we say no, it's not right. We have neighborhood watch attitude toward neighbors, and good relations with neighbors are really, this is really important.
Yes. Thank you very much. I forgot actually to congratulate our viewers on the birth of Prophet Jesus, salawatullah alayh. I remember one of my friends always had a shirt on, and on this shirt, the shirt said, "I love Jesus because I'm a Muslim." And I just wanted to make this point that, you know, being a Muslim, a very fundamental part of that is accepting the previous prophets,
yes.
and one of them is Prophet Jesus. So every Muslim does, you know, has this love for Prophet Jesus, salawatullah alayhi. So I congratulate our viewers on this auspicious event. I guess we don't have too much time left. We'll have one more question in this regard, and that is about the how neighboring one another in carrying out Islam's guidelines in this regard will affect our unity. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, you know, unity is one of the fundamental concepts in Islam,
yes.
and especially unity between different sects of the, you know, Islamic sects that we have. Everybody should respect the other sect, for example, being Shia or
yes.
being Ahlus Sunnah, there is no difference, I mean, in the concept of unity.
Yes.
And the of course, they should recognize each other, and we have our beliefs and we have our ideas, but we should, you know, let's say have a unity
yes.
with our brothers and sisters of the Ahlus Sunnah. And the other points with unity between human beings.
Yes.
For example, different community and different countries, they should have unity between each other. They should recognize each other, and they
yes.
should, you know, let's say respect each other.
So do we have any stories in particular from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi in regards to, for example, Jews or Christians
mm-hmm.
that one of them, our brother, pointed out? Do you have any other stories in this regard that you could point out in which the Prophet showed respect to, for example, Jews or Christians who were living in the Muslim society back then?
The story that I now remember,
yes.
this is a story from Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. He was passing from the one road, and his companion was a Jew.
Yes.
And Amir al-Mu'minin, they want to separate from each other.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Amir al-Mu'minin wanted to go to the Kufa, and that person wanted to go to
another
other city.
Yes.
Amir al-Mu'minin accompanied that person just a few steps. And that Jew person said, "Why are you doing this, you know, this
yes.
Good companionship?" He said that because we are, for example, this is a recommendation
it's
of
a
our
recommendation
Prophet,
of
yes,
our religion.
To respect our companion. And
okay.
the story continues, and that person
turns,
you know,
into a Muslim later
yes.
on. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We'd have to say goodbye now to our viewers, and inshallah, we'll see them in the next program, inshallah. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.